and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Federal and state prosecutors are outlining serious charges against the suspect in the Boulder, Colorado attack on a group of people supporting Israeli hostages in Gaza. It's being considered a hate crime with attempted murder charges at the state level. And correspondent Nancy Cortes tells us the Trump administration is focusing on the immigration angle as the suspect was here on an expired visa.
President Trump said acts of terrorism like this one will not be tolerated in the United States, and he said this is why we must deport illegal anti-American radicals from our homeland. Trump's deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, added no more hostile migration. Keep them out and send them back.
12 people were injured in the attack by incendiary devices in what Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt describes as increasing anti-Semitic attacks.
They're up nearly 900% over the last decade. In five of the past 6 years, we've broken a new record. I think it's a function of anti-Semitism being normalized, anti-Zionism becoming sort of acculturated into the public conversation.
This is the first incoming college class since the Supreme Court ruled colleges and universities cannot consider race as part of their admissions process. Data journalist Grace Manthe looks at a CBS News analysis of college enrollment records.
The schools that did consider race before the ruling, and now they can't, they actually saw a 2 percentage point decrease in underrepresented minority students.
The full impact of the June 2023 ruling may not be known for years. CBS's Scott McFarlane reports a former Trump supporter, Pamela Hemphill, is refusing to accept the pardon granted to her and more than 1,500 others who were charged in the January 6th storming of the Capitol.
No response from the White House to her announcements. But that said, she gets an awful lot of feedback on social media, an awful lot of vitriol from others who were convicted or pleaded guilty to their January 6th crimes, who accuse her of looking for attention.
New research shows a specific diet can help protect brains against Alzheimer's.
It's called the MIND diet, which stands for Mediterranean-Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay. It combines many elements of the Mediterranean diet and DASH, or dietary approaches to stop hypertension. It emphasizes brain-healthy foods like leafy greens, berries, nuts, and olive oil. Those who closely followed a MIND diet had a 9% lower risk of dementia compared to those with low adherence to the diet. And those who did it for 10 years had a 25% lower risk of dementia.
Correspondent Matt Piper reporting. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Packers back in practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with, but also it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's like, it's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelly, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his 6th home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight. Some showers moving in. Southerly winds gusty. Morning lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms. Some of the rain locally heavy. Southerly breeze going to the northwest. Will be gusty. Highs in the mid-70s. Currently 71 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us, and happy Monday. Hope your week has started off well. Hopefully you're getting to the end of your work day and able to get out there and enjoy some of the, might be a little cloudy where I am, but it's warm. It actually feels like it might be June. Thank goodness. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest co-host with me. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find his work on a podcast called Wisconsin Forward. Yes, our state's motto, indeed, forward, 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 at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, or wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Big thanks to our last guest, State Senator LaTanya Johnson. I don't know why I keep saying Jackson every once in a while. I know her name is Johnson. I've been following her career for years. State Senator LaTanya Johnson, ranking Democrat on the state's Joint Finance Committee. We are going to have her back and spend some time going, maybe a little fine-tooth combing, Matt, of the state's biennial budget as we get closer to adoption.
I don't envy her job. That is just an enormous lift that she's got. And plus, she's got to deal with really obnoxious Republicans on that committee, and she doesn't have the power. The Democrats don't have the power there. So it's a thankless job, really.
It truly is. And I can't imagine what that must feel like to have to listen to that all the time and know that there's not much we can do to solve the problem is really frustrating. She wanted me to mention something specific before we departed with the fine senator. And the thing that she wanted me to mention was she wanted all of you out there listening to pay attention to what has gone on with the Department of Corrections budget. And what she means by that is that when you look at corrections and incarceration writ large, if you lock more people up, it is going to cost more money to lock people up, more staff, more buildings. It is extremely expensive to have someone who is incarcerated. It is even more expensive if that person is a youth, a young person. And if you look at what we have spent on corrections over the last few budgets, it goes up. It's not going down. It's going up. This is a trend nationwide. We spend more now on incarcerating people than we ever have in our nation's history. We spend more on a per capita basis incarcerating people in this country than they do anywhere else in Western democracies. And we have worse outcomes. If you want to talk about it with recidivism, people recovering from AOTA issues, getting GEDs, that's happening. But we call these places largely rehabilitation centers, and yet we fail at that. I digress a wee bit, but the senator wanted me to make this point on some money, some specific figures in the DOC budget. We have two facilities for justice-involved youth that have to be incarcerated in a state. It's Copper Hills, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, excuse me. One's for girls, one's for boys. We spend on average just over $40,000 a year per pupil in our public education system. Just over 40. To house a young man or young woman at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake, currently we pay just over $460,000 per year. Check it, 40 to 460, i.e. just under a half a mil a year to hold a child, a young person at Copper Hill, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake.
More than 10 times.
It's going to be more than 20 times what we spend to educate them starting in a month. It will be over $800,000 per student, per young person, for them to be incarcerated at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake. And it will go up even more next year. That is close to $1 million a kid. By the way, that could be done cheaply and with better outcomes, as proven in nearly every single study that has looked at justice-involved youth, if we had community-based programming. Not shipping kids from Milwaukee and Dane counties or whatever county, Greene County, to some place halfway across the state where they never see their family or talk to anybody that they know or love.
And those institutions are very troubled institutions, too.
Abuse. Guards have been injured by young people that are there. Overuse of detention and restraint, more solitary type cell-based detention. Restraint use that has been wildly criticized. Kids that have been abused. Think about keeping kids hundreds of miles away from home in a prison-like atmosphere. This is not how you do this. And it's totally cost ineffective. So anyways, my thanks to Senator Johnson for making those points. So much to talk about with her, Matt. I can't wait to spend a little bit more time with her, especially as we get closer to budget adoption. And we've got something to take aim at real clearly. Got to do it.
Yeah, the budget is crucial. It can be, you know, tedious for people to look at the numbers, but that's where the action is.
Well, and it's the lies about what's in the budget and the refusal to listen to people in so-called listening sessions about it is pretty extraordinary in this moment.
Yeah, so galling.
It is so galling. But I wanted to, we've got one of our regular listeners and callers on the line, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to cue this up. We're going to take a couple callers in case folks wanted to react to the senator. But here's our next topic. Put your thinking caps on because I want to get your reactions to this. As we have been seeing video of deportation raids across the country, one image is now seared into the American consciousness. That is not just Ice Barbie, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, in the ever so practical long waves with a flak jacket on. I know that's how all of my friends that have been in military or law enforcement, you know, break down doors with their hair, with the locks flowing. Not just Ice Barbie. It is the image of unspecified law enforcement officers in full head-to-toe tactical equipment, basically minus a military-grade automatic rifle and minus a military helmet, but everything else they've got on, and a face covering. That is the image in everyone's mind. You don't know what agency they're from. Could be ICE, could be something else, could be local law. Nobody knows. They do not have on identifying name badges. You can't see their faces. They put on the wraparound shades. You don't know who they are. And you can buy this crap on Amazon or stuff that looks like it. Here's my question. I got into a pretty heated debate online, which I try to avoid doing, but this one really got me cooking. About the idea that you've got law enforcement with face coverings on executing immigration arrests. I think it is absolutely abhorrent. With caveats, I understand the circumstances that cops need to have and law enforcement have to have face coverings on. I'm not banging down the door of some drug cartel kingpin with my name badge on, my residential address and my face. Like that's, I don't want to end up with my family hanging off a bridge somewhere. You get what I'm saying? But what we're talking about ain't that. I don't want to argue about that. I'll grant you that. What do you think about all these ICE agents and maybe local law enforcement and maybe somebody from the FBI or some other agency of the federal government? You can't tell because it doesn't say, with face coverings on. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. L.A. Tom, welcome to the show. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Maggie.
How you doing?
Well, what I'd like to say first off is happy Pride to everybody out there.
Happy Pride! It's Pride Month!
That's right. And second, I think the Republicans have earned, and factually we should be calling them the pro-death party. And the Democrats ought to grab the mantle of pro-life. They are in favor of getting rid of USAID. They are in favor of cutting Medicaid. They are in favor of wars. They are in favor of capital punishment. They are the pro-death party. And I think the Democrats really need to grab that mantle of pro-life and say, we are the pro-life party. Because just because a woman has the right to choose does not mean she's going to choose to terminate a pregnancy. It's the whole point of choice. But we are the pro-life party. They are the pro-death party.
Well, and remember, I mean, Tom, remember the complete freak out about death panels? When they wanted to put, like, there weren't death panels. And it wasn't like the ACA was introducing death panels as some new thing. You want an organ transplant? Guess what? A group of surgeons and physicians gets together and decides if you're an appropriate candidate. There's been versions of this everywhere, but they basically were like, Democrats want to kill people. See? Joni Ernst just said, drop dead. See if I care. Like, on a hot mic. That's not made up.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. I like it.
Dems
are the pro-life party. I think we should run with that. Matt, your reaction to what Tom had to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little confusing, pro-life, because of the abortion issue, but certainly the Republicans are the pro-death party and proud of it, if you listen to Joni Ernst.
Yeah, I don't know how someone running in a place like Iowa gets away with that. I just don't. It's so shocking. Let's see. We got Cindy from Appleton. Welcome back. Say hi to Matt.
Are you talking to me?
Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say quick that you do understand the relationship between cutting the education budget and adding to the incarceration budget, right?
Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, yes.
Yep.
They run hand in hand.
Make that point.
The fewer dollars we spend on education, the more dollars we'll spend on incarceration, which, you know, benefits a very small group of individuals that aren't regular folks. I mean, again, we're incarcerating more people now than we ever have in the entirety of our nation's history for longer periods of time for less violent offenses. None of it's working. You want to talk about a crisis in public safety. How about the fact that we now incarcerate mental health? That's what we do with people that have severe, prolonged mental health problems. We lock them up. We have no capacity within our systems to address long-term, very challenging mental health problems, especially youth that have very serious mental health and behavioral difficulties. We just incarcerate people. And the stats on that, unequivocal. Costs us more for less result, less safety to incarcerate people at the levels that we are. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I got Matt Rothschild with me. When we come back, we're going to dig into this question of ICE and the face masks. Does it feel a little Gestapo-y? I mean, it feels a little icky, little concerning.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. And I know that there are men and women of good faith doing their jobs. I want them safe. I want them protected. But really? Less face masks, I think. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. More when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Monday. Hope another workday is now through for you. I'm having fun at my job because I'm with each and every one of you and my fine guest co-host. You can find him here every Monday with me, and you can find him on his own fine podcast called Wisconsin Forward. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find that pod at civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Pods, and anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. We are going to open up the phone lines. It's also a gimme. You can talk about whatever you want because Matt and I consume an obnoxious amount of news. We're happy to discuss any or all of it with you. Too much news. That is good for our health, most likely. But the topic, the question of the afternoon, because I got into it online with a couple of posters, is about the fact that it's not just ICE, but I'm going to use ICE as shorthand for any and all law enforcement that has been conscripted or otherwise directed from both local, state, and federal law enforcement organizations to execute immigration raids and or arrests. They're showing up without clear insignia denoting what agency they are with, which is usually a really important thing. You know, if some cop kicks your teeth in unnecessarily, I kind of want to know if it's my local PD or like federal ICE officials, or was it somebody from the FBI or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Fire? They're all participating because Donald Trump has been sucking law enforcement agencies into this immigration pushed and purge since January, and he's requiring more and more resources, which is a whole nother story about how local and state law enforcement is becoming increasingly thinned out and our neighborhoods less safe because resources are being diverted to Donald Trump's warfare on immigrants that help grow our foods, clean our homes and businesses, help teach our children, help take care of our children, and serve in technical occupations like lawyers and engineers, all up and down the income spectrum.
And the stories are heartbreaking, too. There's a woman in Milwaukee who is supposed to be deported tomorrow who's got...
She's a teacher's aide.
She's a teacher's aide. She's got two young twins at home. She's been a model citizen. She was applying for a visa because she was a victim of being trafficked at some point in her life, and they're just going to ship her away. I mean, this is just... These stories, they're just devastating.
It is.
But on the mask thing, Meg, I mean, how do you know the person who's all dressed up with a mask isn't from the Proud Boys or from the Oath Keepers?
Because they all dress alike. This is the problem. And I want to open it up to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Your phone calls will be taken. Your text will be addressed. I wanted to share with all of you some of the comments that I saw on a thread about this and my responses there too. Okay. And both commentators, I think I've got two or three that I actually copied and wrote down because I thought, whoa. Yes. Three of them. Interesting to note, all three white men, two of them were our former CEOs and one of is a chief information officer. So all white dudes that are former C-suite executives. Okay, just let that sit. But here was the comment from one. Your side is dangerous and unhinged. We saw Antifa protesters at the homes and on the property of Supreme Court justices. These officers deserve to do their jobs and go home to their civilian families. Antifa is able to dox these officers by simply posting their photos on Twitter and asking, if you know who these people are, please tell us. Of course, someone went to school with them or knows them. From the area, who is also against ICE's lawful business, do they deserve an Antifa protest at their house during dinner time? A whole bunch of things there. First, no, someone who does their government job should not fear for their or their family's physical safety if they are executing their government job in good faith, following the Constitution and abiding by their oath, which usually starts with something like, I will uphold all laws and faithfully execute all laws of our nation and state, invoking the Constitution. So all of these officers take an oath that is some version of that, which means the limits of their lawful authority end with the edges of our Constitution. Just something to consider. So the presumption of lawfulness in all areas of law enforcement action is a faulty one. Law enforcement has acted unlawfully in the past. But again, so long as a law enforcement officer is doing their job in good faith, like, no, I don't think they should fear for their safety or the safety of their families. I am not talking about the very real circumstance where they're dealing with violent, well-organized gangs or cartels. That's not what I'm talking about. Where there has been an evidentiary basis for that should be actually reviewed by supervisors, documented, I can see where they would wear face masks. I'm not talking about that. But going to pick up the teacher's aide tomorrow in Milwaukee with her two kids. Yeah, don't show up with eight dudes, five squads, all in mass and military tactical gear and scare the heck out of this woman. That's what I'm talking about. That's the place that I don't think the masks are appropriate. I'm going to share with you my response to that comment. I'm going to share my experience as a government official. I have had protesters at my home, so I actually know of whence I speak when I'm talking about this. Have I been a protester? You betcha. Not at somebody's home, but I've taken to the streets. We're going to unpack all this. Matt and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The suspect accused of injuring 12 people in Boulder, Colorado, as they express support for Israeli hostages in Gaza, is an Egyptian national with an expired visa who had applied for asylum.
The Trump administration has raised the asylum threshold, so he could still enter the country on a tourist visa today, but he might not be allowed to even begin the asylum process.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt addresses rising anti-Semitism.
The reality is blaming Jews in America, for instance, you don't like abroad, that's insane. And when it happened to Asian Americans around the COVID crisis because people were upset about China, we all called it out.
Correspondent Scott McFarland tells us Pamela Hemphill is rejecting the pardon she and 1,500 others got from the president for charges related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
She says, I just wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I wouldn't be right with God if I accepted a pardon for something we all clearly did.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with, but also it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's like, it's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelly, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his sixth home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again, in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world, because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock. Hotcakes. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight, some showers moving in, southerly winds gusty, morning lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms, some of the rain locally heavy, southerly breeze going to the northwest, will be gusty, highs in the mid-70s, currently 71 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The aforementioned Pat Kreitlow will be here, and board games are good for you. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got Matt Rothschild with me as my co-host for the remainder of the show. And every Monday, you can find him here with me. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK. We've got some swag in the works for the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll let you know when that's available. Question of this final half hour of the show. What is your reaction to now this indelible image imprinted in all of our minds of law enforcement from what agency? Who knows? Because they rarely wear clear insignia. In full tactical gear, basically minus an automatic weapon and a military style helmet, but otherwise full tactical gear with face mask coverings on from their neck all the way up to their eyeballs, a baseball cap, and then shades. You literally can't see a bit of the person's face. Is that okay in a democracy? And again, I am not talking about when they got to go after cartel members, there's a legit security risk if they can be identified. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you want to round up 10, 11 million people, most of whom are not violent criminals, the vast majority of which are taxpaying, hardworking neighbors and colleagues, like the teacher's aide in Milwaukee Public Schools who may get snatched up tomorrow as two kids. You don't need a face mask on for that arrest. Why do you have a face mask on? I got lit up a little bit online, which I love, as you all would know. I'm going to share with you my response to a few of those, but let's take a little bit of sound. This is Congressman Dan Goldman. Actually, first, Jacob, let's actually take the Homan sound. So this is the head of ICE, Tom Homan, one of Donald Trump's favorite people, on Fox News just a few weeks ago, showing us the attitude of ICE when it comes to the rule of law in this country and making sure we do things correctly, because we are a shining city on a hill.
Promise the American people, the President Trump has made a promise to American people, we're going to make this country safe again. I wake up every morning loving my job because I work for the greatest president in the history of my life, and we're going to make this country safe again. I'm proud to be a part of this administration. We're not stopping. I don't care what the judges think. I don't care what the left thinks. We're coming.
I don't care what the judges think. That's a nice attitude to have by a cabinet secretary for the U.S. government.
I mean, this is the same guy that threatened Governor Evers. And so my question, and I talked to a bunch of my friends who are either current U.S. attorneys, okay, former U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys, and immigration lawyers. I know a whole ream of these people. And said, is this normal? Like, do these guys usually look like this when they're going to do these arrests? The answer was, from every single one of them, including people who are quite conservative, no, this is basically the new uniform of ICE, and nobody's going to do a damn thing about it. Now, Dan Goldman, who's now a congressman, he was formerly an assistant U.S. attorney. He is an extremely well-respected lawyer. He is a Democrat. But here's what Dan Goldman, because he knows about this stuff, again, worked for the feds as a prosecutor. He was a law enforcement official. Here's what he had to say. This is cut 11, Jacob, about all these masks that all these guys are wearing.
I had with the ICE agents. I was a federal prosecutor for 10 years right there. I worked with the Department of Homeland Security. I worked with ICE agents. I worked with Homeland Security's investigations. I have never seen any plainclothes officer wearing a mask. And I asked them, why are you wearing a mask? One person told me, because it's cold. I asked him if he would testify to that under oath, and he walked away and wouldn't respond to me. Another person admitted that they're wearing masks so that they are not caught on video. And my question to them is, if what you are doing is legitimate, is
lawful is totally above board, why do you need to cover your face? Law enforcement officers do not cover their face. And in fact, the Trump administration is cracking down on universities for allowing protesters to wear masks. So apparently it is not okay to wear a mask if you're protesting the government, but it is okay if you are the government to wear masks and in order to shield your face from the public.
My baseline, as someone who worked in government, who has had people really angry at me, is this. If you can't do your job as a governmental employee, and I'm not talking about people that work in intelligence, I'm not talking about undercover, I'm not talking about any of that, we all, not stupid, so please don't come at me with that nonsense. If you cannot stand up with your face fully visible and say, I am officer so-and-so, and you're so ashamed, maybe that should cause you some pause. I think it is much easier for people to do wrong when we're hidden behind screens, in our cars, hidden behind masks. And if Donald Trump, as he said on March 4th in a Truth Social post, American students will be permanently expelled or arrested depending on the crime, no masks in protest, thank you for your attention. He's saying we're going to criminalize if you show up at a protest with a mask on. We've got over 21 states in this country that have introduced legislation to criminalize mask wearing in a protest. There are more bills introduced in this year by this time than there have been in prior years. They're passing. It's illegal to show up to exercise your First Amendment right in a mask, but law enforcement gets to hide behind it when they're executing their normal, regular, everyday functions, right? Like that. This is what immigration agents are supposed to be doing. Matt, what do you, feels so gross to me.
Yeah, and I don't think it's to mask their identity. I think it's to intimidate the American people. I think that's what it's all about. They want American news consumers to see these people in masks throwing undocumented people here in this country into vans and whisking them away to prisons in El Salvador or Louisiana or Sudan or wherever they're going, and for us to be scared. That's what I think what's going on. I mean, listen, we've got police, good police officers every day patrolling the streets of this country without wearing masks.
Right. What in the hell are they talking about? 855-752-4842. Kevin, listening on WMDX, says this. Without due process, identification of the agents and proper warrants, aren't the ICE arrests tantamount to kidnapping? There are some powers that enable this. But again, what the Supreme Court has said unequivocally is you're supposed to get due process. If someone were to fight back, Kevin continues, could they possibly be acquitted on self-defense, a la Kyle Rittenhouse? I mean, this is the la-la land that we're in. If these guys bust down my door in the middle of the night and I live in a stand-my-ground state and I light them up with my, you know, multiple magazine automatic weapon because my state says that's fine, and they don't have ID and they haven't identified them. I mean, now law enforcement, if they bust down your door, are supposed to be saying police, police, police. But again, if you're covering all this up, I think it's a combo. I think they don't want their identities out there, Matt. And I think the visual is meant to be intimidating. Here's what I said. And let me just describe for folks briefly, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. I'll just share with you my experience. I have had protesters at my personal residence 3 times. They numbered approximately 20, 25, 30 each time. Full signs with my name on it, Margaret C. Dawn, and a bunch of allegations. They didn't understand what my job was. They didn't understand the role of my office. It was basically a misunderstanding. I actually twice went out and sat down with the protesters, it was in the summer, brought them some water. Hey, let's sit down. Let me try to explain. They weren't satisfied. And I said, thank you. And went back inside but I came out. I didn't actually, try to avoid. These people had a right to be there. They were standing in public space protesting what they thought they disagreed with, that they thought I had done. guess what? Part of the job I signed up for.
Right.
Part of the job. Here's what I said to this former CEO who went off about they're getting doxxed. I worked in government. I've had protesters at my home. It's not a moment I relished, but I realized that when you exercise the power of the state on behalf of the people may have questions and objections. If protests are peaceful on public property, then what's the beef? Many Dems, including me, condemn political violence of all types. Are those Dems dangerous and unhinged because we criticize our government? What do you say about pizza delivery to judges at their homes using the name of Esther Salas's son, who was shot and murdered by an aggrieved party that had appeared before the judge, posing as a pizza delivery man? These pizza deliveries are going to, by the way, judges ruling against Donald Trump. There are thousands of these, apparently, that have happened, or at least hundreds by my understanding. Calling huge groups of people dangerous and unhinged is itself a bit extremist. No, I condemn all forms of political violence and oppression, regardless of source or speaker. Will you join me? What should the rule be regarding name badges and face coverings or those that are in law enforcement? What if a president executed a clearly unconstitutional executive order to round up all privately held weapons in the U.S. because of our, quote, violence crisis? Should the officers that come to raid your home in the middle of the night to seize your weapons illegally, I might add, cover their faces and refuse to identify themselves? Is outrage relative? Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. We got Matt Rothschild with us. Let's go to the phones. Ollie from the Northwoods, always a pleasure to see you on my caller list. Say hi to Matt. What you got for us? Hello, Ollie. Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say my name.
That's all right.
I agree with both of you about the masks. I think that's just a way of intimidating people. I think that since everything has gone off the rails, that's my only way of saying this, that the law enforcement, to some extent, not all law officers, but some tend to be more assertive.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, your reactions to this, Ollie's making the point that within law enforcement and various law enforcement agencies, there definitely is the hoorah culture. Like, yep. Put me in tactical, put me in a tank that we got from the U.S. military on the secondary market, and let's take down doors. And it's the cowboy that exists within law enforcement. It exists alongside law enforcement officers that don't abide by any of that at all, right? Like, both things are true, but the cowboy mentality scares the crap out of me when I'm the one that's looking down the barrel of their guns.
Right. And a lot of folks who are non-white are disproportionately the victims of that. And Donald Trump is encouraging this kind of cowboy policing. He's been doing it for years.
Folks, that's Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast available on the Civic Media Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. We've got our final thoughts on the ICE agents in full tactical with masks on, refusing to identify themselves, intimidation program of the Trump administration next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-752-4842. Get your 2 cents. Nickel, dime, or quarter in 855-75-CIVIC.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The Film Center is
the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, I hope your Monday flew by just as fast as mine did with all of you and my fine guest co-host, Matt Rothschild. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you blinked and happened to miss our 2025 Scotty Summer Text to Win Word of the 4 o'clock hour, don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow again in the 4 o'clock hour with a new word that you will be able to text me via our app to enter to win daily, hourly prizes, money, grand prizes. You'll get entered. Don't worry. It's going to happen every single day for 2 weeks. And we also will still have Free Ticket Friday on Fridays where I give away even more Brewers tickets in the fabulous Civic Media Club level seats. We've been talking about ICE agents and other law enforcement agency or law enforcement officers conscripted into Donald Trump's deportation program. Wearing masks, I think it is deeply problematic. I think so many of us that work in government understand that people will sometimes object to our decision-making, to our actions in government. That is part of what you sign up for. It is part of the scrutiny that government actors receive. Violence and threats of violence directed at people who are doing their jobs in good faith within the bounds of the Constitution should not happen. So I'm not talking about real and credible threats of injury to agents that are engaging in immigration enforcement, though we can have a discussion about whether or not it's actually within the bounds of the Constitution and therefore their oaths because of the Supreme Court's ruling about due process. But for argument's sake, That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about picking up people that have no criminal records, engaging in raids at schools, at medical centers, hospitals, workplaces, where there is absolutely no reason for law enforcement to be covering their faces up. No credible reason anyways. I've shared with you a couple of comments that I've received online, my responses there too. The last couple, I can just summarize with this one. I'll use this one as an exemplar. Bad guys never play by the rules. They break the rules. So to beat the bad guys, sometimes you need guys that break the rules to beat them, like terrorism and counterterrorism. By the way, that piece of constitutional Mensa level analysis was brought to you by a former C-suite executive. My response was this: how we treat the unquestionably guilty in this country establishes the rights or lack thereof of the many righteous innocent. That is what due process is designed for, to protect the process each person is due, regardless of actual guilt or innocence, so that we are less likely to convict the innocent, to strip rights, freedom, and life, yes, life, from people who are innocent. That process generally includes facing your named accuser, challenging the method of your arrest, including the specific interactions between yourself and the officers that you can identify, and disputing the charges against you. It does not equal being disappeared by masked, credentialist armed militias without even the designation of which law enforcement agency they are with in the middle of the night, and then being renditioned to one of the most violent places on earth without a call to a lawyer, let alone a hearing. That's what it is about. So you do to the least of my people, Joni Ernst, if we want to talk about Jesus Christ, you do to me. How we treat people who are unquestionably guilty, even if we presume their guilt, is how we treat the righteous innocent. That is the bounds of the rights as they are protected. That is the way it works here. Anything else is simply not a democracy. It is not the rule of law.
And this idea of just go break the rules because there's some bad guys out there. First of all, Trump has exaggerated grotesquely the issue of immigration and slandering all undocumented immigrants with a huge, ugly, broad brush. But breaking the rules is not how our system is supposed to work. And that's a C-suite person was just echoing the Trump mentality that, you know, rules are for suckers and I can do whatever I want. And we got to, you know, knock some heads here.
Well, and that's, I see within conservatives of good faith, especially conservatives of good faith that are lawyers, that are judges, that are some of the folks who, for better or worse, crafted conservatism pre-Trump, right? I see from them now, perhaps too little too late, calling this out, saying this isn't about safety. It's not about public safety. It's not about trade. This is about the assertion of raw power, unlimited, unchecked by not only courts, unchecked by our norms, the values that we used to all uphold. Government law enforcement officers acting the way that these ICE agents are in any other circumstance. I mean, does anybody remember the guy in the standoff with the Bureau of Land Management? Like, yay, now some 6-7 years past, who got into an armed standoff. I mean, that guy, everybody, conservatives were all, well, that's good. You didn't see law enforcement rolling in with tanks all masked up, like reducing that guy's ranch to rubble to arrest. Again, faux outrage only directed in certain instances that are not analogous or are poor. This seems to be all the rage these days.
Yeah, and we just can't give up on due process and habeas corpus. That's crucial in this country. We've mentioned a couple times the woman from Milwaukee who faces deportation tomorrow. I just wanted to give her name. Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee teacher's aide with twins. ICE is going to rip this mom from the arms of her twins tomorrow unless something changes.
If you want to find out more about protests and other ways and means to support that teacher's aide at MPS, who is a spotless, no criminal record, check out Voces de la Frontera. Voces de la Frontera. They have more information about how to reach out, support the cause, and ask for our rights, due process, to confront your accuser, to actually see the face of law enforcement officers that want to arrest you. Yeah, should be a right. That's going to do it for Matt and I. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The suspect in the Boulder, Colorado attack on people calling attention to Israeli hostages is facing multiple state and federal charges, as correspondent Matt Piper reports.
12 people were injured in the attack. 2 remain hospitalized. They were among a group marching to support Israeli hostages in Gaza when police say Mohammed Salomon hurled Molotov cocktails and had another 16 unused. Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruen.
When he was interviewed about the attack, he said he wanted them all to die. He had no regrets, and he would go back and do it again.
The suspect is facing multiple felony charges as well as a federal hate crime charge. An affidavit says he had been planning the attack for a year. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The U.S. is deploying 150 federal firefighting personnel to Canada to help tackle the widening threat from dozens of wildfires that have sent more than 25,000 people fleeing their homes and which is sending smoke to the U.S.